hope every happy new year to everybody. I hope everything turns out real safe for you this year and you have a very productive year. I know we're having more fun than a safety professional should be allowed to have. You should know who that comes from. Yeah, that's one of those days. I mean, we had another terrorist attack, two of them on the same day. And we're going to be talking about them today. Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity in the highway to north, this is Safety Wars for Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. Hey, I didn't make a mistake. 25. We are out to one hell of a year. So far. I tell you what, two terrorist attacks in one day? But they have nothing to do with each other. Pure coincidence. And, you know, if you believe that, we have a new safety program to sell you. Repackaged, of course. Hope you enjoyed your holiday season. And it's like, Jim, you still have Christmas tree up and everything? Oh, yeah, we got the Christmas tree up because Christmas is not over until the Feast of the Three Kings. Three kings were not there on Christmas. People forget that. So, you know, next week, Monday, we'll have everything down because it's the Feast of the Three Kings. And we may have some Feast of the Three Kings music here. Unbelievable events here. Unbelievable. I don't know if I'm ever going to go to a big public event again after this week. Until people calm the bleep down. Right now, that safety program that University of California San Diego puts out for events, looking pretty good right there. Looking pretty good. I spoke to my wife, who's an event and meeting planner, internationally known. She said, oh, yeah, they got safety for everything there. You know, might be something to consider if you want to go into that area. I made that recommendation to someone online over the weekend because that's what I do. I suggest things. All right, here we go. We're going to do Voice of America. All right, I'll share that screen. Did they switch this again? Yes, they did. Software changed again. Hold on. Screen share. Yes. All right. Here we have Voice of America. Remember, this is non-copyrighted. It's open source. This is a federal website. We're allowed to use it and share it. So we only share those websites that we're allowed to. They're normally government websites. So very, no, if I mess up, you know, it's my fault. So U.S. Appeals Court blocks Biden administration effort to restore net neutrality rules. U.S. Appeals Court ruled on Thursday the Federal Communications Commission, that's the FCC, did not have legal authority to reinstate landmark net neutrality rules. The decision is a blow to the outgoing Biden administration that had made restoring the open internet rules a priority. President Joe Biden signed a 2021 executive order encouraging the FCC to reinstate the rules. A three-judge panel of the Cincinnati-based 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said the FCC lacked authority to reinstate the rules initially implemented in 2015 by the agency under Barack Obama, then repealed by Donald Trump in 2017. Net neutrality rules require internet service providers to treat internet data and users equally rather than restricting access, slowing speeds, or blocking content for certain users. Rules also forbid special arrangements in which ISPs, internet service providers, give improved network speeds or access to favored users. The court cited the Supreme Court's June decision in a case known as a Loper right to overturn a 1984 precedent that had given deference to the government agencies interpreting law they administer. In the latest decision to curb the authority of federal agencies, applying Loper right means we can end the FCC's vacillations, the court ruled. The decision leaves in place state neutrality rules adopted by California and others from May and more than 20 years of efforts to give federal regulators sweeping oversight over the internet. Right, so it's like, well, this is a safety program. Jim, why are you talking about this? Well, it's all about, all goes into safety. Okay, let's go into this. Now, this is, right, as I see it here, we have a situation here where this is similar to what happened with this is similar to what we're seeing here during the Newtown school shooting, Newtown, Connecticut, 13 years ago now, 12 years ago, where the news media is going out there trying to get, and I get it now that I'm part of it, right? Trying to get stories first, be first, and this one wants to be first, and federal agency wants to be first, and now this and that, and the other thing. Now, I get it. Now we have multiple stories going on out there. Out come this conspiracy theorists. That's basically what, as I see it. They've changed their stories a couple of times, and, I mean, there's been a lot of insults lobbied against some of the spokespeople out there, specifically a woman from the FBI. I'm not going to share her name because I don't have it, number one. Number two, I don't think it's really fair. Until you're sitting behind the microphone in front of the camera, really got to be careful what you say because, oh, well, I could have done a better job. Well, if you could have done a better job, get your rear end up there and do a better job here. So here is FBI says New Orleans terror attack suspect acted alone. The FBI says it believes as a suspect in the New Year's Day truck ramming attack in New Orleans that killed at least 14 people had acted alone and was inspired by the Islamic State terror group. Officials had previously said they were looking into the possibility that the suspect had coordinated with others. FBI officials briefed for reporters on Thursday on the latest in the probe into the act of terrorism, quote unquote, in which the suspect, 42-year-old, I'm not mentioning his name, which is our policy, crashed a pickup truck into a crowd and opened fire in the city's popular Bourbon Street. Based on hundreds of interviews and reviews, the attackers called social media accounts, electronic devices. We're confident at this point that there are no accomplices, said Christopher Rea of the FBI's counterterrorism division Thursday at a news conference. The suspect, a U.S. citizen from Texas, was killed in a shootout with police. He served in the U.S. Army and later served in the Army Reserve until a few years ago. Apparently, his expertise was computers. Here, that's one report we're hearing. According to some, no, there's a quote, he was 100% inspired by ISIS. According to one person here who's close to the situation. The attack occurred in the intersection of Canal and Bourbon Street. I'm familiar with this area. Yes, there. Now we have that one here. Boom, boom, boom. Where is the other one? Hold on. I just had it here. Hold on. Soldier shot himself before Cybertruck exploded outside Trump Las Vegas hotel, officials say. It's from the person inside the Tesla Cybertruck that burst into flames outside President-elect Donald Trump's Las Vegas hotel, shot himself in the head before the explosion, officials said Thursday. He likely planned to cause more damage when the steel-sided vehicle absorbed much of the force from the explosive, they said. Well, you know, people have asked me throughout the years, and I don't discuss methods, right? Just to give you a little background, when we did the training for the disaster response worker authorized training credential, which I have, and community emergency response training, and some of the other stuff I've attended over the years, they've said, look, you don't share this stuff publicly, like don't share it on the internet, because you're going to give people ideas. And I've held fast to this. I've held pretty much with that. But I tell you what, everyone concentrates on the guns, right? On the guns. Okay, and I'm not going to go into a gun debate here. But there are many, many, many different ways for people to do stuff. This is just one of them with what we're seeing here with the car bombing. And the other one, apparently they had stuff in there too, IEDs, something like that. And the other one, I think those are what the ones that are more that we need to concentrate on. No, we have to concentrate on everything, but that's one of the things here. Because there were both of these things. There were security issues. How do you get the truck there? Blah blah blah. Clark County Sheriff Kevin Mayhill said at a news conference that a handgun was found at the feet of the man in the driver's seat who officials believe is, and I'm not mentioning his name, a highly decorated U.S. Army soldier, appeared to die of a self-inflicted wound. Damage from the blast was mostly limited to the interior of the truck. The explosion vented out and up and didn't hit the Trump Hotel doors just a few feet away. The level of sophistication is not what we would expect from an individual with this type of military experience. Among the other chart, they have everything in here. The remains were burned beyond recognition. Investigators have not definitively identified him, but the IDs and tattoos on the body gave a strong indication of who it is. And they're just surprised that this person would, with this. So, you know, I don't know what to say. Before we go on and comment on this, right, here is, right, a list of some of the victims. And let's remember here, These are people. These are human beings. They have families. They have friends. They have associates, right, that are all being, that are all severely impacted here, I'm sure. Our condolences go out. Who are they? Let's talk about them, right? About 30 people were injured. Here are some of the people here. Nakiria Dado. Zion Parsons of Gulfport, Mississippi, had been celebrating New Year's Eve during his first night on Bourbon Street when a vehicle appeared and plowed into his friend, 18-year-old Nakira Dadu, who said he had dreamed of becoming a nurse. Right? Again, family members here. Reggie Hunter, a 37-year-old father of two from Baton Rouge. Right? Tiger Beck, former high school and college football player from Louisiana, was among those who died in the attack at New Orleans French Quarter, according to an education official. 28 years old. All right, those are just a few of them. And, well, as I mentioned, I know they got away from next of kin and everything else. This is from VOA, Voice of America. Now, how does someone get to this point? It seems too easy to say mental illness, mental stress, mental break. It's, you know, it's too easy. That's the easy way out. We've been talking a lot about mental health recently on this program. What could cause this? Based on what I know and some experience with people who tend to be radicalized, they're disaffected people looking for a place to belong, who feel that they've been wronged somehow. They want to lash out. They want some notoriety. Those are, now you're going to say, well, Jim, what are you basing that on? I worked in politics for a long time, and there were radicals that I have worked with and who I don't associate with. Once I find out you're a radical, no, we're done. People feel like they're on a mission from God, and there is no reasoning with them. My experience here, sick people. If you notice a friend or family member being radicalized, talk with them. I'm not saying confront them. Talk with them. See what's going on out there. If you see something, definitely say something, because this is what happens here with these situations. And I'm shocked that they do not happen more often. The fact that a celebration was there, was this a copycat from what happened in Germany a couple weeks ago? Or a Christmas fair, same type of thing? We had a similar thing happen in New York City not too long ago, a couple years back. What about this whole thing going on to Trump in at the hotel in Las Vegas, the Trump facility? That have to do with politics, somebody who hates Trump? I don't know. Have no idea what it did. Maybe it was just coincidence that the person went up there. I don't know. They're investigating this stuff. But the fact that we've had all these conflicting reports is adding to the confusion and to the conspiracy theories, which are already out there. I have a lot of questions, and I'm going to wait for more information to come out before we start asking those questions. We're going to go to our first commercial break here, and we will get back to you. Tech.
the halls with warning signs, safety gear and checklists fine. Hoist the ropes and test the air. Santa's workshop has to care. Fa-la-la-la-la, stay confined and safe. Safety professionals with permits lead the way. Don't go in without a proper plan. Fa-la-la-la, our Christmas demand. Space is tight, confined edges out of sight. Elves with harness strapped up tight. Merry Christmas, done just right. Fa-la-la-la-la, stay confined and safe. Safety professionals with permits lead the way. Don't go in without a proper plan. Fa-la-la-la, our Christmas demand.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Polzo, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Polzo and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzo with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
Yes, I am your father. A little bit more levity here. So we're talking about making sure I'm on the air there. And sometimes, you know, things happen if you're a regular listener. So my wife, right, I think everybody knows I'm a Star Trek fan. Right? I'm thinking about putting that right in there, but I think Paramount might have an issue with that. So my wife goes on. Is shopping for something else. Yes, we do use that Chinese place that does the same thing as the place as the with the river, right? That's named after the river, right? And they're known for cheaper products and some stuff that's really interesting. So she knows I like Star Trek, so she goes and she says, "Hey, Jim. Here, I got your mug. You know, we get your Star Trek mug every year." So, and I'm not even looking at, I'm like, "Oh, wow, that's pretty good." Then I go, and I said, "Wow, look at this." What I learned from Star Trek. No, it's a 5-year mission. And what are we doing? We're staying that here. You know, we're not doing, that's like a staycation. Star Trek. That's not what the product description was. I said, "We're not returning. This is hysterical. And we're going to go boldly. And I figured out, I'm thinking, I suppose we go boldly, right? And it says, boldly. It must be go gladly and go boldly. And they created another word, go boldly, right? With that. So a couple of things, right? Be logical. Hail on all frequencies. Resistance is not futile. Make it so. Give her all she's got. Set your phaser to stun. There are 4 lights. You really got to be a fan to know what that reference is. I want to do that for one program. Live long and prosper. So, you know, that's my mug. We had a good laugh over it. And I'm keeping it. I'm enjoying it. Couple of other stories. They're local stories, but I mean, they did make the national news here. This is out, and by the way, I've been in this hospital. Hello, Jessica. You want to say Happy New Year to anybody? No. Oh, okay. Ooh. All right. Woman who drove her car into New Jersey emergency room called police for help earlier the same day. A Delaware woman who drove her car into a New Jersey hospital on New Year's Eve had, and this is from NJ.com, Matthew Enuko, had called authorities early in the night asking for help. 38-year-old woman from Newcastle, Delaware, said that she called the New Jersey State Police earlier in that night asking to be admitted to the hospital for a crisis after she was upset with her mother-in-law. Authorities wrote a warrant for her arrest. When police responded, the woman declined to be taken to the hospital, stating she did not want to be transported but wanted to drive herself with an escort. Probably because she couldn't afford the ambulance, I would think. Once state police left, she found the keys to her car and struck two other vehicles before driving to Bridgeton to find help, she told police after she was arrested. The woman told police she saw the Inspira Hospital, then thinking no one would help her, decided to drive her car through the double-door entrance to the emergency room, hoping to knock herself unconscious. A lot going on. So one of the reports out of New Orleans is that they didn't have the bollards up to block cars from driving there. That's probably going to be one of the root causes here. They had no bollards in front of the emergency room here. Aye, aye, aye. I mean, she blew through there. You should have seen the videos there in the pictures there. The hospital security guard suffered a minor injury jumping out of the way of the vehicle, according to a hospital spokesperson. No one else was injured. The woman was charged with assault with a motor vehicle, endangering others, and third-degree criminal mischief. The damage to the hospital was estimated at over $135,000. But in reality, it was probably about a couple grand. But, you know, they're, like all the other things in the hospital, they jack up the price, right? $135,000. Right? The damage to the hospital was estimated at $135,000. The woman did not have an attorney. Okay, well, yeah, well. Now, this is another one. We have a zoo in northern New Jersey, and it's called Space Farms. Now, Space Farms was originally started well over 100 years ago, and my understanding is that the owner used to barter, and people would give him animals. After a while, you know, it was like a general store, people would give him animals. After a while, he said, you know what, he started a zoo here, and the family has kept a zoo, a space farm. So I've been there with my family. It's good. I mean, it's good to go to. Let's say you're on like a first date or something, or you have like toddlers and small children, right? You could go there, see some animals, and you know, it's got some mixed reviews over the years and whatever. But I tell you what, it's My opinion of zoos is like this. You're not going to see any of these animals anywhere else. And since this zoo specializes in injured animals and rehabilitation, a lot of times, nowhere else, you know, euthanizing, putting them in a zoo. Okay, we get this. So State Senator Parker Space, that is the name, Space, said he was bitten by a venomous snake. A rattlesnake, around noon on Monday, received 14 vials of antivenom over the next 2 days at Newton Medical Center before he was flown on New Year's Eve to New York City Hospital specializing in snake bites. To be honest with you, I'm shocked. Newton Hospital. Well, I don't know. There are rattlesnakes, eastern timber rattlers in Sussex County. This happened right where one of the areas I grew up in, so I'm very, very familiar. I'm shocked Newton Hospital even had anti-venom of 14 vials. They must have flown it in or something. I don't know. Things are going to work out for the guy, and I hope he has a speedy recovery here. His wife said he was feeding little pinky mice to a group of snakes when it happened. It was quite an experience, said Joel Space, a Sussex County Commissioner. Parker Space, who represents the New Jersey 24th Legislative District in the State Senate, said he drove himself from the zoo to the hospital. That hospital is a long freaking way off from the zoo, I'll say that much. So he must have been hauling ass over there, using that State Senator license plate there. He drove himself to the hospital because he did not want to tell me, his wife said. I'm just shocked. He got bit on there. He went to Jacoby Medical Center, which I am not surprised, in the Bronx, because the Bronx Zoo is in the Bronx, right? And they have the means of treating this, among other things, out there. They also have a pressure chamber there. For to give people treatment there, right? Pressurized, I forget what they call it. I know. Okay, safety stuff, right? Construction company secures multi-billion-dollar contract for a revolutionary infrastructure project. Article by Kristen Lawrence. Yeah, Kristen Lawrence. This is off of Yahoo News. Another lightning-fast travel option is coming to the United Kingdom as a joint venture for... between the transportation company Ferrovial and construction developer BAM, who secured more than $3 billion new high-speed rail project. Why can't we have these in the United States? You know, a lot of reasons why. Here we have, okay, now let's talk about some workplace stuff. This happened in Harlem in New York City. A United States postal worker was stabbed and killed while on the job in Harlem on Thursday afternoon. This was... Thursday afternoon, that was today. Officers responded to a deli on Lenox Avenue after 2:30 p.m. and encountered the injured 36-year-old victim. He was stabbed and slashed multiple times inside the deli, including the torso, arms, back, and neck. He was pronounced dead at the hospital. Police say the attacks appears to have stemmed from a dispute between two customers that turned physical. A 24-year-old person of innocent interest is in custody. Weapon has been recovered. Eyewitness news spoke to a friend of the person of interest. While she did not know what or why this happened, she said it is not her friend's character to have attacked someone without a reason. Went on to say, this is just a bad neighborhood. What happened? I have no idea because I was not around yet. I don't know. And again, shame, rest in peace there with that. Next story. And of course, come on. Apparently there was. Hold on, everybody. I'm sorry. I had the story up on the screen, and then it blanked out. Let's go to the next one. Arrest made in stabbing death of Kroger warehouse worker. It's from December 30th. This is in Memphis, Tennessee. A man was arrested in the death of his coworker after a stabbing Thursday morning at the Kroger Distribution Center in Memphis, according to court documents. What the hell's going on out there? Anderson Todd III was charged with second-degree murder in the death of Jacoby Hobson, record show. Court documents allege that the stabbing stemmed from an argument between the two men. They responded, you know, blah, 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 blah. Witness told investigators that Hobson told Todd to go to an area of the warehouse that didn't have cameras so they could fight. The argument led to a shoving match at one point and Todd seen swinging his arm in a stabbing motion. The witness then got between the two men, stopped the fight, and Hobson collapsed, and Todd went into a break room where he waited for police. Right? What the hell is going on? And again, if you have, right, this is what I see here. All right, with this. Okay, this is what I see out here. All right. A lot of places out there have a lot of workplace rules, but they don't back them up. I see that all the time, folks, and the big thing is no guns allowed. And there's a big sign out for no handguns allowed, no weapons allowed in this facility. Okay, well, how are you going to enforce that? Well, what do you mean, Jim? Well, no handguns allowed in the facility. No weapons allowed on the facility, no blah, 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 and there's no metal detector. the safety person and security people are like donuts, right? Are like donut and coffee safety people and security people. They're not nothing. Go, oh yeah, but that sign's gonna protect you. So, and God forbid anybody should go out there and talk to people. God forbid that they do that. Hey, is something wrong? Blah, blah, blah. You know, with this. Now, if someone tells you, I'm going to say this, let's go where there are no cameras, don't go there. Just don't do it. Well, what do you mean? Just don't do it. The jobs that I'm on, there are cameras everywhere. You cannot get out of your car without being on camera. Why? Because we have had security issues and people starting fights at work. So what do? We put everything on video. All of a sudden, all the fights stop. Incredible. Well, you're saying, well, Jim, what, you work on jobs? Yeah, I work on. But remember, I don't. What's Jim's rule? Do you have the authority to hire? Do you have the authority to fire? Do you have the authority to discipline anyone? Do you have the authority to make changes? Do you have the authority to reward? Do you have a say on who they hire in any way? Do you have anything with that? Well, if the safety professional does not have that authority, and the management or whoever is paying for this doesn't really care, well, guess you're going to run into problems like this. My question is this. When someone gets killed like this at work from a fight, what were the indicators? Where was their training to determine this? Because now this is a OSHA recordable, and I'm sure OSHA is going to be there investigating if they haven't been there already. Okay. I saw you went bye-bye there. Okay. This is from December 17th. Out of Dickinson, Texas, an investigation is underway after a man was killed while working along I-45. The Dickinson police said that the officers received a call when a construction worker being injured. When police officers arrived at the scene, they found the worker was killed when the crane from a boom truck collapsed on a job site. Now, I'm not saying I don't know anything else about this case, but let's talk about this. Often the boom trucks are not as inspected, and people are less trained than if you have a crane. Maybe that's going to change. And that's where I would be focusing my attention. OSHA and Amazon reached a settlement over ergonomic safety at facilities. OSHA and Amazon have entered into a corporate-wide settlement. There were a lot of OSHA citations and investigations in multiple states and everything over MS, musculoskeletal injuries, right? With this, so all dealing with ergonomics, and this is the other thing, is that it was all done under the general duty clause. So it takes a long time with this. The parties have been scheduled to begin trials in 10 cases before the Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission between January and June 2025. Semi inspections conducted across 10 Amazon facilities beginning in the summer 2022. Doug Parker, the OSHA Assistant Secretary for Occupational Safety and Health, stated, quote, this corporate-wide settlement agreement focuses on improving conditions for several hundred thousand Amazon workers nationwide. The agreement requires Amazon to assess ergonomic risk across its facilities, including through annual updates, and investigate and implement controls to reduce ergonomic risk. The ball is in the company's court. OSHA stands ready to work with their ergonomics team to evaluate their progress. I'm going to tell you this. When these warehouses are normally constructed, they're constructed by people, by engineers and things of that nature. My question would be, are those people actually taking ergonomics into consideration when they design these facilities? And by the way, every warehouse, I worked my way through warehouses in the summer, working my way through college, one in particular. And the question is, it's like an incentive thing to get things done really quick rather than real safe. Not saying the Amazon does that, but that could be it. Or maybe they're giving lip service to that. They have safety stuff and they don't really commit to it. Not saying Amazon does that, but I'm saying other companies where I worked with do that. And this is often what happens when you're incentivizing a quickness. What does Amazon have to do? They probably have to redesign their stuff with that. So, furthermore, the article I'm reading off of EHS Daily Advisor, the agreement also identifies ergonomic safety measures that Amazon has implemented at various local sites, including adjustable height workstations, a redesign of packing stations, new conveyors, ergonomic mats, scanner harnesses, updated other stuff, job rotation, all the stuff that you would expect for ergonomics to be fixed with that. This is not unique to this, and the fact that they are taking this seriously, that's a big, great thing. This is from the Politico, Transition of Power. At EPA, Trump's second term is already having consequences. Really? Well, it depends on how you look at this. Any significant exodus of staff, either through retirement, resignation, or termination, could devastate EPA positions. President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration is just recently, and many of the staff of the EPA are eyeing the exits rather than trying to hunker down to withstand the upcoming onslaught. Many of the agency's 16,000 staffers served through the first Trump administration, a person that left them feeling ignored, mistrusted, or abused. Now ahead of the second term, that Trump and his advisors have said will be more aggressive in targeting the deep state. Many employees are considering leaving. While the agency's work on climate change are politically lightning rods, the bulk of its day-to-day activities are devoted to issues with widespread bipartisan support, such as clean air and water. But that work requires significant scientific and institutional know-how. Now, this is what I'm going to say on this. Regardless of your opinion on Donald Trump or anything like this, you're not going to get a deal in the private field like you are working for the federal government. Not going to happen. And anybody who's encouraging you to leave the EPA, I'd think twice, because you're not going to get that kind of deal. You're getting a federal pension, federal health care, you name it. Maybe you're not making a lot of as much money as you think you're going to make in the private sector, but I tell you what, you get everybody leaving at one time, the jobs aren't there for this, senior-level jobs in the environmental field. Unless you can find you get a deal somewhere, the jobs aren't there with that. I'll be damned if someone is going to, if I have a job and if someone says, well, that's a horrible job, you should leave, I'm going to probably tell the guy, no, usually a guy, girl, I might, a woman, I might, say it a little bit differently. I mean, who the hell are you to tell me what job I should leave or not? Really? Is that a smart thing to do? Leave a job because somebody else doesn't like Donald Trump? Illogical. Now, that being said, 4 years. I've stayed at a job much longer than 4 years than I hated. You could do that. Are you serious here? Right? They're talking about things being politicized. I tell you, with the work that I've done with the EPA over the years, it's politicized anyway. Are you kidding me? Oh,
We're as good as the clean driven snow, like Mr. Snowman over here in my background. Right? We're as good as Simon the Seal. We're nice and innocent here, right? Come on. And he's going to come in, it's going to be evil. It's going to be, it's going to be horrible. Give me a break. All right? Give me a break. If there's a, I'm sorry. I don't believe this story. Right? Let them, if they want to, if they want to leave, leave. Okay. If you feel it's going to be that bad, you can't handle it, leave it. You got to do something for your own mental health. But don't let someone else make your freaking decision for you. Now, I don't know. All right. Let's take another break. Jim's got to calm down here. We're going to take another break here.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
Snowflakes fall like ashes down from the sky. All we want for Christmas is to not say goodbye. Twisting lights on, tinsel twisting the truth, while Santa's sleigh and fallout just vanish from view.
Okay, and we are back here. I tell you, let's go one more commercial here.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
And we're back. So, Weird Al has Christmas at Ground Zero. We have Atomic Christmas. Russia commissions 5th Yazin nuclear attack sub. Russian Navy has accepted the 5th in a class of advanced nuclear attack submarines that is set to be based near Norway. And I can never say this. My mother, this is where the concentration camps were, where my mother and family were during World War II. Attack Oak Arkhangelsk, I think that's the best I've ever pronounced that, was turned over to the Russian Navy on December 27th in the ceremony at the Sevmash shipyard on the White Sea just south of the Arctic Circle. It's the 4th Yazin M class that are modified to a variety of strike weapons and a 5th Yazin overall. In terms of strike weapons, the Yaz MS can field the 1,000 mile range, three blah 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 land attack cruise missile, an Onyx anti ship missile, and Zircon hypersonic anti ship cruise missile. And Russian Navy submarines equipped with calibers have been on high lists of U.S. and allies undersea threats for several years. And again, nuclear submarine, I guess could probably have nuclear weapons. I don't know. It's just again, escalation. Here we have an article from truthout.org. With Trump at the helm, nuclear uncertainty is set to grow in 2025. 80 years after the first atomic bombs, experts say it's past time to rein in nuclear weapons. From story from John Letman, December 31st of last year. And again, when the clock strikes noon on January 20, 2025, Donald Trump will once again be given launch authority over the U.S.'s nuclear arsenal. Right? After decades of hard-fought arms control agreements and a major reduction in the U.S. nuclear stockpile going on and on and on, we've talked about it at length here. Today, all nine nuclear-armed nations are modernizing or upgrading or expanding their stockpiles. Spending on nuclear weapons is surging. Okay, so here's my question. All right, here's my question. Have you been complaining for 4 years? Since February of 2022, have you been complaining? My question, I'm not getting into politics here, but okay, stuff was rescinded, vacated, and everything during the first Trump administration. How come they didn't go and rebuild and try to reestablish these things in the last 4 years? Ukraine war? Really? This is what I see as the problem, right? And it's whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in politics, whether it's no matter what. And I had to deal with this recently with someone, right? They make an accusation. This person is no good. This situation is no good. This thing is no good. Well, what about the situation beforehand? What about, you know, so for let me explain it this way. I don't like this person. He's evil. Right? It could be a political candidate. It could be someone at work. Well, you're implying that something else is good. I don't like President Trump. That means President Biden is wonderful. I don't like President Biden. That means that the alternative is better. No, I don't know. It's a conversation we got to have, but it's something you have to realize here. And if someone does that with you, call them out on it. This is X, Y, and okay, well, what about the other beforehand? What about the alternative is worse? It's better? Is this? Is that exactly what is it you're saying with that? I don't know. It's all part of the manipulation game that we've been dealing with forever here. We've been manipulated. The American public's been manipulated forever. But you got to realize this and you got to overcome it. How do you do that? With questions. Darn good questions with that. All right. Now, we're going to finish up here with a little bit of Star Trek news. This is out of cinemablend.com. Mick Jost published this. The icon made a rare return. We're talking Jolene Blaylock here. We're going to talk about Star Trek here. Star Trek Lower Decks final two episodes deliver big thrills for fans while leaving some hopes of upcoming Trek shows and to continue acknowledging the series canon going forward. Now, so Julian Blaylock played a character named T'Pol on the ill-fated Star Trek Enterprise series in the early 2000s. It was only on for four seasons, and the big story why that was abandoned. She felt, now this is how far we've gone. Now, Hollywood always says, you know, they push an agenda often. They now admit to pushing an agenda. And but the thing is, they're saying, well, no, we don't like the way that women are portrayed in TV shows. Okay, great. There's no argument to be made for that. And I generally speaking, the older I get, the more I agree with that argument. And Julian Blaylock was blatant with on Star Trek Enterprise, and we're just going to leave it at that. And okay, now, but the Hollywood, how could Hollywood complain about the way that women are treated when Hollywood is the one who is treating them that way? As an industry, as an institution. So what happened was Julian Blaylock had gotten married to a billionaire whose name escapes me right now, but she didn't want anything to do with Star Trek. Now we had Star Trek Lower Decks coming on. Star Trek Lower Decks comes on, and there's a series finale, should have never been, and they had invited her back into the fold, and she's been contacted before, no. And then all of a sudden, one of the writers, Mike McMahon, went and wrote her a personalized letter. She said yes, but she was only credited by her first name on this. And we were, it's a good thing. So I guess things are turning around in Hollywood. It's good with that. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying I was happy to see her. Their first role in like 20 years, number one. Number two is that it's nice to see that Hollywood is getting a little bit more progressive in what they're doing and not treating people like Wuvno. Star Trek was no surprise how they treated women. No surprise at all. With that, it's common knowledge. It's nice that they've changed since the reboot with Star Trek Discovery on that. So we did not get into the OSHA press releases or anything. We're probably going to do that tomorrow, hoping to be on the air tomorrow. Maybe a pre-recorded program. We need to see how this goes. And I'm looking forward to a very productive 2025. We're going to talk about SMART goals tomorrow. And the immutable laws of project management. So for Safety FM and Safety Wars, this is Jim Pozel. Happy New Year. We're going to go out with our normal, our usual patriotic music. But we're going to start with some Christmas music first. And then we'll go out with our patriotic music.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
He brings peace to every sight. checks the harness, checks the gear, spreads the cheer without the fear. Guide the workers through the night, makes their task a pure delight. Safety Clause.